Chapter 8. Zara. I take a deep breath before entering the antechamber. Around me, the remnants of the circle gather, the handful of mages who'd not been crushed by the collapse of the Pillar of Radiance. Glancing around, I can't help but feel disheartened by the depressingly small number of them. Roth stands close beside me, along with the other magisters, whom I've not become very well acquainted with. One is named Ivor, a bearded fellow with a large bulbous nose. Another is an older woman with long white hair named Sheila. The third is a mousy woman named Sala, with nervous eyes and small pouty lips. Four, I think, heartbroken. Only four remain of the entire circle. Light, grant us wisdom that we may rebuild what was lost. Roth gives me an encouraging nod. I force a smile before pushing open the doors, my new silken robes swishing as I enter the meeting room. The antechamber is a familiar scene. Long circular rows surround a lectern in the middle of the room, the terraced seating forming an amphitheater designed for magic classes. Instead of initiates, it's half filled with a variety of different people, marked by the colors of their faction. The nightingales dominate one side, their cloaks blending in with the dark polished wood of the desks and chairs. Owen and Talon are there, sitting down near the front. On the other side, members of the royal houses group together like a flock of colorful birds, their bright reds and golds a sharp contrast to their muted surroundings. They regard the rebels caustically. Other nobles linger nearby as well, wearing the mottled livery of the different houses of Tarsus. Several armed guards stand watching over the factions, a sense of uneasiness permeating the air. The magisters and I make our way down the steps of the amphitheater, sitting in an unoccupied section of the lecture hall, near the wooden platform. When we finally sit down, Elias stands from his place among the nightingales and approaches the lectern, his face as grim as ever. His eyes sweep over me as he surveys the hall, his presence silencing the dozens of small buzzing conversations. Despite his new position, he is dressed the same way he always has, simple clothing beneath leather armor, his grey-green ranger cloak hanging like a cape from his broad shoulders.
"Rulers of Tarsinium," he declares,
deep voice reverberating through the chamber.
"You have been invited to this meeting because you represent a certain faction within the kingdom. You are the last leaders of humanity in these uncertain times and possess a vested interest in the preservation of your people. An attribute that we all share, despite our many differences."
I'm struck by how much Elias has changed over the last few months. His bearing is no longer gruff and wolf-like, but dignified, almost regal. Before, I would be lucky to hear a complete sentence out of him, I think in amazement. Now he's an orator and a commander. Curious how the mantle of leadership can change a man. He continues,
"The nightingales, in league with the conclave, have called this meeting that we might discuss the many challenges we now face. It is up to us in this room to unite under this common cause, to ensure that humanity survives the coming days."
"You should have thought of that before you murdered the king," interjects Layla Olson, former head stewardess to King Æthelgar. "You can't honestly expect us to unite ourselves with traitors and cutthroats."
That didn't take long, I think, just as the room erupts into curses and angry shouts. Many of the guards look about nervously, their hands straying to their swords. Elias raises both his hands, gesturing for everyone to quiet down, but it does little good.
"I understand that at one time many of us were enemies," he says over the din of voices. "But for the good of the kingdom, We must put our differences aside. Murderers! Someone shouts, while others lob insults like arrows at the opposing side. The mages and a few nobles sit quietly, seemingly content to watch the whole spectacle play itself out. Layla's voice cuts through the noise with the sharpness of a knife.
The only way we'll consider a truce is if you and the other rebels submit yourselves to the courts for regicide. Only your deaths will bring peace to this kingdom.
Many nod their agreement, the tumult continuing unabated. Someone abruptly shouts, I'm not sure who it is.
What say you, nightingales? Will you sacrifice yourselves to unite the kingdom?
Silence settles over the lecture hall, all eyes going to Elias. The grizzled ranger maintains his composure, face emotionless as he turns to regard the former stewardess.
I don't deny what I have done. King Aethelgar was a threat to this realm, and his death was well deserved. But even if every nightingale in this room were sent to the chopping block, it would do little except deprive the realm of warriors. Warriors we'll need in the days to come. War is upon us, Miss Olson. We must stand or fall together.
He turns to Owen, motioning for the apprentice to rise. Owen gets up and stands beside his master at the front.
This is Owen Lund, Elias proclaims. He has important information that all of us need to hear.
Owen hesitates before speaking, his discomfort plain despite his efforts to hide it. When his gaze settles on me, he relaxes, taking a deep breath to begin his report.
Before the onset of winter, he says, King Aethelgar sentenced me and Zara Denel, Seeker of the Conclave, to exile. We survived in the wastes for many weeks, and were only able to come home after the Ark fell.
Everyone listens with rapt attention. The fact that anyone survived exile is a novelty in its own right. The only one who seems unimpressed is the stewardess, who stares at him with cold anger in her eyes. He continues,
Before we returned to Tarsinium, I came upon a great demon army in the desert. There were tens of thousands of them, gorgons, dark hounds, and beasts I've never seen before, all ready to march for war. I've never seen such a force before. Now that the Ark is gone, they will come for us to finish the war they began more than 1,000 years ago.
Whispers fill the chamber, shock and worry painted plainly on many attendants' faces. One of the nightingales questions Elias directly.
Did you know about this, Protector? Owen told me only a few minutes ago, Elias replies. I would trust him with my life, and have on many occasions. If he says that he's seen this army, it must be true.
They're coming, Owen reaffirms. The Destroyer of Worlds from legend, the Prince of Darkness himself, is leading this force. He'll not rest until every last human is killed or enslaved.
Elias turns to regard the stewardess.
That is why we must unite ourselves, Miss Olson. The time to resolve our petty squabbles has long since passed. We must unite, or we will surely die.
The long-faced woman purses her lips and fixes him with a hateful glare, but doesn't otherwise respond.
Were you able to get an accurate count of their numbers? Siege equipment, cavalry, foot soldiers. We need to know exactly what we're dealing with.
I recognize the speaker as Marius Moore, the general who'd led the attack against Dunmar City, a hulking brute with a face like a boulder, his skin marred by years-old battle scars, and his nose round and bent, looking like it had been broken many times over. Apparently the rangers set him free at some point before we arrived in the city. His eyes are hard, but he appears earnest as he stares at Elias and Owen, foes he had once faced on the battlefield, now encouraging a united front against a common enemy.
Owen meets his gaze and shakes his head.
I wasn't able to get exact numbers, no. Approximations only.
We'll need to send scouts, one of the Nightingales chimes in. Riders, who can get us more information. We need to know when this army will arrive, so we can prepare,
General Moore continues.
Tarsus hasn't seen a proper siege in generations.
A dialogue ensues between the disparate factions, men and women from opposing sides collaborating with one another about what can be done. Nothing like a crisis to bring people together, I think. A wry smile tugging at the corner of my mouth. Owen and I share a look, and he shrugs, relief passing over his face.
What say you, Magus?
The general asks, looking to Magister Roth.
Is the conclave in any position to help?
Roth stands, addressing the entire lecture hall.
The conclave has taken a mighty blow, it's true, he says. But there's still much we can offer the people of this city. Many mages yet live who can bolster our forces, and radiant shields can be cast to protect our defensive structures. Though obviously not as grand as the Ark, they will be of a benefit to help our warriors.
I should like to meet with you privately, Magus,
Moore says before turning to Elias.
And with you, Protector, to discuss how we can best defend this city.
But what of the refugees?
Someone asks, prompting more concerned murmuring.
The city can't hope to contain so many people. We may have a solution for that,
Elias offers, sparing a glance over his shoulder at the Nightingales, sitting in the terraced rows behind him.
As many of you know, Dunmar City lies in the Ironback Mountains to the north. Its defenses have taken a beating recently, but it should still be defensible enough to protect those who come seeking asylum. A small force could protect the past, should any demons try to break through.
Whispering ripples through the crowd, but I'm pleased to see several heads bobbing in approval. The only ones who seem to disapprove are Layla Olsen and her retinue, their expressions openly furious.
So, this is what's expected of us, she snarls, her hands like white-knuckled claws in her lap. We're going to ignore the fact that this animal slew King Æthelgar, and we're going to stand beside him in battle? I, for one, would rather die than allow the Nightingales a place of prominence among our people.
General Moore abruptly stands, his enormous form demanding attention from all in the room. Both of his hands are clenched into fists, and a look of barely contained rage is plain upon his face.
I fought against the Nightingales my entire life, he growls, and recently lost many men assaulting their city. But I would put aside my prejudices in an instant if it meant I could protect the people of this kingdom from total destruction. If you'd rather die than stand beside them, then perhaps I can have my knights arrange an execution.
The guards surrounding Layla tense, as if ready to do battle. A deadly silence settles over the lecture hall, but nobody draws their weapons. Instead, the stewardess merely laughs, a pithy, haughty sound that sends a shiver down my spine.
I never took you for a traitor, Marius, she says, meeting his intense stare. But I suppose this day is full of surprises. King Æthelgar would be ashamed.
General Moore's jaw tightens, but he doesn't offer a response. Layla glances around the room, then rises to her feet.
It seems coming here was a waste of time. We'll return to the palace and bar the gates. If what this apprentice says is true, then we're all going to die anyway. There's no point in fighting it. At least we can meet our end with our honor still intact.
She and a handful of others, including her guards, proceed to leave the antechamber, pulling the door shut behind them. For several minutes, no one seems to know what to say after her abrupt departure.
She brings up an excellent point, Magister Ivor says at length, breaking the silence. Should we manage to defend the city against this demon army, what guarantees do we have that the kingdom will be safe? With the Ark gone, we'll be defenseless. Surely the R'hllar will only send more soldiers to finish the job?
More silence follows, the implications of Ivor's observation settling heavily on everyone. Unless, I reply, we can create a new Ark of Radiance. Everyone looks at me like I'm crazy, an expectant air filling the void left by my bold statement.
A new Ark of Radiance? Roth asks skeptically. Please, Seeker, elaborate.
I wet my lips. When Owen and I were out in the wastes, we happened upon a vein of source crystal. A source crystal so large it made the Heart of Light look small. It's buried beneath a hill just beyond the Emberwood, in an old mine excavated by the indigenous people there. I'm not certain, but it may be possible for us to use this crystal to create a powerful artifice, maybe even recreate the Ark itself. The room bursts into commotion. I hold up my hands, trying to quiet them down, but it does little good. Everyone speaks over the other, exclaiming and wondering aloud at the possibilities. Memories of despair come flooding into my mind. You made a promise to the Wastelanders, Zara, and you got a lot of people killed. You couldn't keep your promise then. Why would you make another impossible promise now? I shove my disparaging thoughts aside, refusing to give in to the doubts. It's the only way, I think. Brows furrowed. There are no other options. And now I have the whole of the Conclave behind me. Or what's left of them, I suppose. Hands still raised, I continue trying to gain control of the assembly. General Moore pounds his fist against his wooden armrest.
Silence! Let the girl speak for Light's sake!
His booming voice reverberates off the walls and ceiling, effectively quieting everyone in attendance. I give him an appreciative look. I'll admit, I continue, sweeping my gaze over the hall. I don't know how much power will be required, nor do I know how long it will take to enchant the crystal. It'll be difficult, but I do believe that it's possible.
The Circle will aid these efforts. Zara Dennell, Magister Roth says, nodding approvingly. There are experts in artifice who yet remain at the Conclave, as well as powerful mages familiar with ancient spells. We'll just need for you to show us the way.
Of course, I reply without reservation. I would be glad to go.
Perhaps we can buy you the time you need, Elias says, rubbing his chin thoughtfully. With the enemy focused on Tarsus, a small party of mages could make their way to the crystal. The armies here could hold Asmodeus's attention long enough for you to cast your spell.
I like it, General Moore says. A slim chance is better than none. This sort of thing would give the men something to fight for, a boost to morale that we sorely need. I'd be honored to lead the defense of this city.
All around, men and women from differing factions bob their heads in agreement. A new feeling of hope attends the meeting, a sense of optimism that's been sorely lacking since the destruction of the Pillar of Radiance. Light, I pray that our hopefulness isn't in vain.
Then it's settled,
Elias declares, a note of finality in his voice.
The combined armies of Tarsinium will defend the capital against the Prince of Darkness, while a group of mages led by Seeker Dennell travels into the wastes to create a new Ark of Radiance. The light, it seems, has finally given us direction and a reason to unite ourselves. Now let's discuss how we can get this city ready for a siege.